Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lenning School Watch et al. Diane Lenning is the host of Lenning School Watch on Blog Talk Radio. The show brings sought-after information about education. We have guests and call-in opportunities for parents, educators, and interested parties to get your questions answered for those who want to know how our kids can get a quality education in America today. Diane Lenning, who has a master's degree in secondary education, is the nation's education guru, who has been an educator for over 30 years, California State Delegate to the National NEA Convention, former chair of the National Republican Educators Caucus, and a Medal of Freedom Award winner in 2004, awarded by the United States Senate. Blog Talk Radio is a social media platform that allows listeners to interact live on radio and to share with you about important education issues. So listen for that free, toll-free talk number in just a moment. It facilitates intellectual discussion, new voices, and opinions in a public worldwide forum. Featured network guests include a broad variety of individuals and experts. If you'd like to call in tonight, the toll-free number is 1-877-497-9937. For local callers in California, it's 818-394-8537. Call anywhere from around the world, toll-free, 1-877-497-9937. You may email me questions before show start or after. My email is diane@lenning.com. We'll be with you in a moment. Enjoy the music for a few seconds, and we'll be back with you. NEA.org. All of these are prefaced with the traditional www.NEA.org. Another one of interest is UnionFacts.org. And another one for the Education Intelligence Agency, www.EIAOnline.com. These are sites that will help you to research about education. I suggest you do that in your spare time, of course. Diane Lenning, thanks for joining us tonight. We have a great show planned, and you might note that we have now extended our time to have a 60-minute radio show the first Wednesday evening of each month from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's California time. I think I finally got the bugs worked out of the system here. And we are going to be live streaming on my Facebook page, Diane Lenning. I'm not sure if that works yet, but I did connect with that. It should show up on the left-hand column on the bottom of my page. My profile page is where I saw it last, where perhaps you can live stream, or just click on the URL if you're telling other people how to join us. Tonight we, again, are doing part two with Beverly Huffman, who is from Central Valley, California. She was with us last time, and we will have a three-part series that will conclude with her next month. If you would like information about her bio, please look up last month's program on June 1st, and you can find out about Beverly Huffman. She's a great lady. I met on Facebook and have met her personally when I campaigned around the state for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. We have legislative alerts one after the other today, and the culmination of many, many years, about 40 years specifically that I know of in California and the nation, for the LGBT caucus to gain headway in their agenda. Now, whether you agree with their agenda or not, we need to discuss these issues, and we need to decide just where and how we want this, or if at all, to fit in our school curriculum and public school systems. It is getting tighter and tighter in what the insistence is in these bills. We're reading this morning from the legislative alert from Ron Prentice. Thank you, Ron, from California Family Council, that yesterday morning the California Assembly passed Senate Bill 48, which would mandate that the role and contributions of homosexual, bisexual, and transgender persons must be included in California's social science instructional curricula. Now, if I were still teaching, I'd have to teach this. I have a credential in social science and taught history and social sciences. This was the bill's final necessary step before going to Governor Jerry Brown for his veto or signature into law. Whether or not you agree with this, if you happen to disagree and do not want the governor to sign this and you'd like him to veto it, you can connect with those who are working with this, a coalition of those groups, and you can connect with that with California Family Council, and they will update you on the steps to help participate to keep these laws and others from becoming law if you disagree with those. So again, that is CaliforniaFamily.org, or it's called California Family Council. You can Google them and look them up. That's a really good group that gets information out to us. I think it's interesting to point this one thing out here. Senate 48 passed by a vote of 49-25 with only one Republican, Nathan Fletcher, voting in favor of its passage. Fletcher is also campaigning to become the next mayor of the city of San Diego. Now, I don't know this, but that just makes me wonder what kind of deal could have been made in the back rooms to get support for mayor if he voted for that. Now, I have no idea, but from what we've observed in the last number of years, this has been the kind of pattern of some of our what we call rhino Republicans who are not standing together with us on many issues that are in alignment with our platform of the Republican Party. Now, in the Tea Party activists, we've seen many disenchanted Democrats and independents join us as well because many of their views agree with ours as well, although not on every single issue, but definitely on the Constitution and many other important issues. Now, it's important to know that SB 48 in California specifically states that no content within this curriculum may contain any matter reflecting adversely upon persons because of their sexual orientation. Passing this measure marks the California legislature's intention to indoctrinate all public school children with a positive perspective on alternative sexual orientations and behaviors. Now, you may wonder, how could all of this have possibly happened? Well, I have worked in the NEA for many years, and I personally know and have met many people in the LGBT caucus. And I have personally seen demonstrated before my eyes the power and networking across this nation of that caucus. And I think tonight we can enlighten you a little bit to help you understand the importance of becoming aware of this caucus and their agenda and what they're trying to move forward on us. Now, you might be interested as well to know that Archbishop Gomez in the Los Angeles Diocese, Archbishop Jose Gomez, released a statement yesterday specific to government intrusion into the rights and responsibilities of parents. The amounts to the government of rewriting history, he says, based on pressure group politics. It's also another example of the government interfering with parents' rights to be their children's primary educators. Now, if you agree with that, you need to join those who are working on this to stand up for your rights and your beliefs in public school system, because now you have seen the culmination of the work of these on the left who have elected and have almost complete control of California and a few other states, and basically it's coming from the top, from the White House now as well. Why do I say that? Because last month, Obama declared June as the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but, you know, why does it exclude me? I'm never included in anything. Conservative, Republican, Christian woman. It seems to be the species attacked most in the press lately as something to be attacked. I don't understand why. I'm a nice person. Every lady I know who's a conservative Republican is a nice person with good values, usually has families, usually married, but not always, usually really cares about our schools, our kids, our government, preserving our republic, our Constitution, upholding the values of our founders. And I just don't understand why we're being attacked. Well, I'm going to go to Beverly Huffman here in a minute, since I click on her button, and introduce her and just let her kind of springboard off of what I've said. She, I'm sure, will have a comment, but if you'd like to answer any ideas, you don't have to start with this one first, about why they're attacking the conservative Republican women or independent or Democrat conservative women. Why are they attacking us? And what does it have to do with this gay agenda? And I happen to know she's been researching this. So we will see if... Now, they changed the button on me. I may have to find a look here a minute to connect you, Beverly. But here we go. I will talk for a minute while I'm looking. If you'd like to call in, please call in and ask us a question. The toll-free number is 1-877-497-9937. And I'll play music for just a second while I find that button to connect Beverly. We'll be back with you in a moment. Thank you. 5 Beverly. They've thrown me another curve tonight. They switched the whole format here, which helped me get the bugs out, but there's no way I can connect to my caller tonight. So they said I could call her. So I'm hoping Beverly hears me and will email me her phone number. I did send her an email. So we'll be trying to get her on here shortly. At least I found a way to get her on here, but I'm going to have to call her. So in the meantime, I'll talk a little bit more. We're talking tonight about the bill, SB 48, that was passed, and all that we have for this to be law is for Governor Jerry Brown to sign this bill. There is still time, if you wish to help, to organize and help with groups who would like to have him not veto that. Now, the one group that is helping is California Family Council, and I believe their website is californiafamily.org. You can Google them, and I'm sure get connected there. I think that's a good idea, if that's your view. Now, I'm looking here again at the California Family Council item they sent me, and it's really quite interesting what we're seeing here in this move nationwide that has not been really recent. This has been ongoing for many years. As I shared with you a few moments ago, I have known and had firsthand dealings with the LGBT caucus as a California state delegate, elected one of 25 delegates from our state among 330,000 of our teachers in California before I retired, and I was at the NEA conventions and many CTA state conventions for many years, so they all know who I am. They've heard me speak my view. My goal has been to be respectful of other people, of their differing views, different from mine, but yet I would like them to hear mine as well. And I think we need to work a little harder to find more common goals, agenda items to work on, because this one does not seem to be one of a common agenda item that it happens to be one that many people are upset about. Now, why? Not because necessarily of the LGBT people or the caucus, but that they're trying to push their agenda down the throats of our kids. You know, it just seems that they're targeting our kids. And these are innocent kids who don't understand what's occurring and really should have more time to be allowed to decide these issues after they've been educated and after they understand a little bit more about life and about the curriculum and have learned how to have critical thinking skills and how to know the subject matter of the basics, such as reading, math, science, history without bias, an objective viewpoint of history. You know, that was the main point of when I was a history teacher that they taught me years ago. I graduated in 1970, was to have an objective viewpoint of history and not teach a bias, but to show and research the issues, use primary source documents, and allow the young people to decide conclusions based on facts and details that they have concluded on their research. Now, believe it or not, schools have gotten away from that, generally speaking. Not all of them. We do have some good school districts from different areas, but not all are so good. So here I've got a number, and I'm going to try to dial her. It's dialing. We'll see if she answers. But I think it's important that we understand that we are not going to be able to sit home any longer and watch TV, people. We're going to have to be active. This is like a religion to them who do this around the clock every day. They have a national network that I know is and was working for many years. So there we go. It's dialing.
Hello.
Hello, Beverly. Thank you so much.
Hello,
for
Diane.
Hanging in there again. Fortunately, we have an hour tonight, so you're going to have a lot of time. I lengthened it.
Oh,
I
boy.
I hope you have time. Can you stay with us?
Yeah.
The format looks really good, but I don't know how now to get callers who call in, so maybe tonight, people, you just have to listen. Sorry about that. But Beverly, were you able to hear me, and do you have a response to what I was talking about? Where would you like to start?
Well, let's see. I know you were talking about SB 48.
Right.
And, I'm not pleased with it, but then you probably figured that out.
Yes, and a lot of people aren't pleased with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, the only thing left for people to do anymore is to pull their kids out, homeschool them, or put them in private school. I mean, that's about the gist of it anymore, because, you know, we can't allow the government or the schools to dictate to us what we as parents, you know, should have the right to teach or not teach our children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it's really bad, is the fact that it's stepping all over parental rights.
That's one aspect that's really bad. The other aspect that really upsets me is that our young people are being targeted when they're way too young to be able to handle this information, and their mindset is being formed. And it's against the religious view of many of those young people's family and parents, and it's denying the parents their right to have the information taught that's more curriculum-based.
Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, that's why I'm saying I really feel that it's time for parents to get with the program and either start fighting this or pull their kids out, because, you know, we're not going to win this battle if people are not involved in it. And the truth is, yes, they are pushing this agenda, and as we talked about last month, it all boils down to the communist goals, 1963, and they are pushing this on our kids, and we are not even in the loop here. And this is what's bothering me, is
that's alarming.
Why are we allowing our children to go to these schools? Is it for a babysitting, you know, alternative or what? I mean, because they're not learning anything, for crying out loud. I would rather they throw all this garbage out and start teaching them real lessons, you know, math, history, you know, science, reading, writing, you know. All of those things need to be taught, not all of this, you know, this green movement, the homosexual movement. All of those things are second nature to what they need. I don't understand it. And first of all, I mean, what are the teachers going to tell our kids, you know? Oh, well, so-and-so did this and they were homosexuals. You know, this person in history was a homosexual. Well, first off, how many people learn in their classrooms what kind of sexual behavior any historical figure has?
We never,
you know,
heard that in my whole years of education.
Right. So why? Why now? Why now? What difference does it make who they're sleeping with?
That
you
was
know?
Always
I mean,
that was always private information.
Exactly. And you know, they pass I just don't understand it anymore. I'm getting to the point where everything's crazy to me. I mean, everything.
Well, Beverly, I have to tell you, I have always been a public school advocate. I've taught for years in the public school. I've always believed that we need to teach in the public schools. I kind of viewed it myself as kind of like my missionary assignment to help the community and young people to get a good education. But now this law has tied the hands of not only teachers, but the governing board from adopting instructional materials that contain any matter reflecting adversely upon persons of their race, et cetera, or that contain any sectarian or denominational doctrine or propaganda contrary to law. Well, personally, I think this is a denominational doctrine they're teaching. But I am finally, this is the first time I've ever been in total agreement with people who are saying it is time now, people, to get your kids out of public schools and get them into private schools, get your co-ops going. I'm about ready to start my own school, neighborhood school. People who are conservatives who have credentials need to start and be a leader in your neighborhood co-ops with helping with homeschooling, and make sure you do it all legally and within the framework of your school district and with their oversight. There are many online programs. You can do this, but people, it's time.
Yes, I agree, 100%. I agree. I mean, you know, the majority of the parents that do care are the same ones that show up to the PTA meetings and the ones that, you know, will show up at the school board meetings and whatever. But that's a very small minority of people. When you look at the overall picture of how many people or how many children are in school, you know, versus how many parents show up to these things, how many parents even show up to you know, back to school night in the elementary schools. I mean, I was always amazed at that when my daughter was in elementary school. I'd go all the time, but, you know, I'd look around and there'd be maybe a handful of parents there. That was it. You know?
Who knows? Maybe it's all a part of that agenda you were talking about and getting the people to have to work two jobs to pay all these taxes, so then they have to relinquish control to the schools.
Yeah, well, you
know,
I really believe, I believe that it is all a plan, you know, to take over not only government, but private lives. I mean, you know, we've all, or most of us have heard about Agenda 21 and, you know, sustainable development.
Tell about it a little bit. Tell about it a little
well,
bit.
Well, it's basically a government takeover of everything. I mean, you will eventually end up relinquishing your property, your children, you know, any rights you have, they will. One article that I read, they were talking about how they would, you know, start building, stack 'em and pack 'em housing units and stuff like this, and that's where everybody would be going, and they would make certain, and they're already, when you think about it, they're already taking land, and, you know, as government land now, and so they will not allow people to privately own the government land, and so they are pushing people out of private property into, you know, government-owned buildings and everything else. And this is, you know, it's all part of the deal. They're trying to take
now,
over
tell
America.
Or explain how this ideological agenda, now that we're talking about in SB 48, may tie or connect to what that Agenda 21. Do you see
any
connection there?
Yeah, I do. Because if my I don't have Agenda 21 sitting in front of me, so I may make errors on this. I'm not
uh-huh.
You know, 100% sure of what I'm talking about here. But
talk concepts then.
Right, but in one part of Agenda 21, it stressed how the government would be basically raising our children.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, to me, is one step closer to that, because it's, you know, pretty much abandoning parental rights. I mean, we no longer can say, well, I'm sorry, I just don't want my child in that class, or I don't want her learning that, you know. We don't have a say in it anymore, and that's not right. I mean,
that's a major point to make here. I was noticing that you won't be able to opt out of this portion of curriculum because it will be in the mainstream curriculum social science textbook. So you can't opt out like we used to be able to.
And that's why they
in the health
it like
class.
That. That's,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they plan it that way, because that way they don't have people pulling their kids out of school. You know? Well, I'm here to differ with them. I'm saying everybody should pull their kids out of school. The public schools are failing our children anyway. What kind of academic scores are we showing? You know, I mean,
well,
if that's what it's all about, to push a social indoctrination on our kids, then why are we as parents allowing them to do it? You know,
I just have a call-in number I'd like to post here. If you want to call Governor Brown and tell him to veto SB 48, his call-in number is 916-445-2841. If you want to call Governor Brown from California, or anybody could call him, I suppose, to veto SB 46, call 916-445-2841. Okay, there you go. You can continue, Beverly.
Well, I will definitely do that. Anyway, I believe that all of this is exactly what I said it was last week or last month, and that is the communist goals. And they very blatantly point out, you know, take over the schools and take over, you know, what the kids are learning in school, take over the school newspapers. And, of course, we have, you know, the NEA who is, I get in arguments all the time online with people who tell me, oh, well, the NEA doesn't choose the curriculum. Well, the NEA has a big part to do with this, at least the GLBT caucus does, because I don't think it would even be brought to the schools if the NEA weren't behind it. So,
now, may I just make a comment here? There are two ways you say that, LGBT and GLBT, and they do have a certain letter they like to go first. They're keeping us confused, and they switch back and forth, and they know how pretty you are whether you know their first letter, okay? It's the same caucus, folks. It's the same people.
Yeah, GLBT caucus.
Yeah. Now, tell us what you've learned about that. I've met most of them personally, but I'd like to hear what you've learned from a research perspective.
What I've learned is that they are pretty much pushing their agenda on our kids, and that, and they have, you know, they haven't only just gone into our schools to do it, but they hooked up with all of these other gay organizations, and, you know, they kind of all work together. And, you know, you asked me to point out a contribution, you know, from the gay community or something.
Yeah, what are their negative and positive contributions that the LGBT or GLBT caucus has contributed to our country? What are they doing to us?
Well, they're pushing their agenda. That's what they're doing. They haven't done anything positive for America because most of them are anti-capitalists. They're, you know, they're communists. They're Marxists. They haven't done anything good for America and our Constitution, you know, standing by our Constitution, supporting it, you know, supporting our rights as American citizens. They support, you know, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender's rights, but not the the American citizens' rights. And we are all American citizens, and this is what really aggravates me more than anything, is why do all of these different groups supersede Americans as a group?
Now that's
why
important
all these
question.
Individuals?
Why do
all
they
these
supersede?
Individuals?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why? Why? What do they have, or what don't they have that the everyday American does?
Okay, well, I can tell you what I know about that. Over the last 40 years, through the, what'd you start with, LGBT?
GLBT.
GLBT, okay. We used to call it LGBT, and then they switched it. They kept razzing me about that. They probably will now, too. Anyway, I have noticed and observed them in education over the last 30, 40 years. And in around 2000, I met Bob Chase, who was the first gay president of the National Association, Education Association. And I know firsthand that they spent 30 years setting up people from their caucus in almost all of the education leadership positions throughout the United States. And what their pattern has been that I have personally observed down to my campus has been that they have a gay educator or staff member on almost every campus in America, or at least within the district. And they watch for issues specifically. They work together. They know across the nation what everybody else in their caucus and their agenda are doing. And if there's a problem, they call in the ACLU and they do a lawsuit. And I personally know of a few lawsuits, one against a principal. Now, I'm in many districts, or, you know what's happening, so I'm not saying which district this is. But one of the schools, the principal was sued for disciplining a lesbian couple in the high school quad for making out. It's against the rules on the high school campus to make out, any two people, regardless of gender. Well, heterosexual couples couldn't do it, but it was a big problem for the gay teacher on that campus when the lesbian couple was disciplined. Okay, why are the rules different for them and they don't have to abide by what everybody else does? Now, I have can't see my screen, so if it cuts off for a second, I should come back. But if you're there, keep talking, Beverly.
Well, you know, I find that there's a double standard in a lot of things in the public schools, and your gay rights is one of them. And the other thing that I find a double standard in is the fact that Muslims can wear their headgear and not be, you know, told to take it off because it's a religious symbol, you know. But I have seen where if a child wears a, you know, a Jesus T-shirt, they are told to turn it inside out. Now, where is that right? I mean, for crying out loud, you know, if you're going to allow one group, you allow them all. That's all I can get out of it. I mean, you know, they are screaming about equality. Well, where is that equal to everyone? Equality has to be completely equal to be equality.
At least an equal treatment or equal interpretation of the law for each person and how the consequences are decided.
Right.
It needs to be fair and reasonable.
Yeah, and it's just like you know, a couple years ago when all those kids got in trouble for wearing American flag T-shirts on Cinco de Mayo. Now, wait a minute here. This is a California school, and I believe California is still in America, and these kids were suspended for wearing American flag T-shirts, where the Hispanic children, you know, they were wearing their Cinco de Mayo T-shirts and their Mexican flags and stuff like that. But here in America, you know, we don't honor America anymore. We don't honor our flag.
I have some personal observations about those kind of situations. For everybody listening, I was an educator in California public schools for over 30 years, most of the time in high school, and I observed some of these kinds of things on campuses, attended Metro clubs, know their agenda, and what I observed, and this is not racist, people, this is just observation of the facts, what I saw, but I can tell we did make it better over time. What I saw and observed was Mexican kids who would cause problems if they didn't get their way, and they couldn't share issues. There's no reason, in fairness, that both of them couldn't wear their flags on the same day. Now, the Mexicans don't own Cinco de Mayo, thank you very much, and that's not even their Independence Day. Their Independence Day's in September. So this is kind of an American-Mexican day that we've made for a holiday for the Mexicans, and they all celebrate a different Independence Day. So I find it ironic and also, what's the word, kind of lacking
in
desire to get along with others and sharing.
It's a slap in the face.
It's a slap in the face.
That's right. It's a slap in the face. I mean, you know, we have to do a lot.
Yes.
You know, we've got to start taking our kids out of the public schools. We've got to start fighting to end the Department of Education and bring these schools back to the state.
The federal Department of Education.
And bring them back to the states and bring them back to the local districts. Let the parents be involved. get the unions out. I know that's a big, harsh one for most people, that are, especially those that are teachers. But
well,
I'm
at least
you,
out
you know,
in the
there
respect
is no...
that they can't spend their money on politics.
Well,
you
exactly,
know what I mean?
They can't spend their money. But the deal is why are teachers holding on to the unions? That's what I want to know. They're not doing anything for the teachers, and in many cases they vote against the teachers because they are supporting candidates that the teachers don't support. And I don't understand why they must be in a union. You know, if it's to protect their rights as employees, well, then, you know, what they should do is smarten up and take a portion of what they donate or what they pay in dues and pool it to hire an attorney that deals with employer rights and, you know, have them deal for the teachers. Why does a teacher need to have negotiation powers? That's what I want to know. Why are they any different than the person that is working in the factory that wants to get a promotion?
Well, I have some answers to several questions there, Beverly. First of all, I want to say that there are several organizations for teachers who are listening. If you want to opt out, where I can give you the information on how to do that. If you want that information, email me at diane@lenning.com, diane@lenning.com, and I can help you with what if you want to opt out. Now, what I did was I preferred to stay a union member and stay in, but I had my political portion designated to an organization, a local organization, which they do allow, but you have to go forward and ask your local union board to do that for you and be nice and gentle about it and just say you'd like to do it, write a letter, and they'll usually do it. And secondly, the problem is like Beverly, you've said before, is they basically lock teachers in now. It's law. It's law. If you want to be active in your teacher's profession, you have to be a member of the union. And if you aren't, believe it or not, everybody who's in a role knows you're not in it. Because I was on the board, the local board, and the different boards, and I know they have the list of those who are and who aren't. And I cannot tell you the flack I took for just speaking my opinion gently and kindly to people, standing up at the microphone and speaking my opinion. They make it difficult on teachers, and I can attest for the fact that teachers are overworked and not given all the proper materials to be successful, unless you're uniquely qualified to know how to circumvent all the problems and compensate for that. But I think it's important. Now, here's what you need to do, folks, if we're going to change this. Listen to what Beverly said. Yes, that's a good plan when you were talking about the nation, the statewide plan. However, that's not going to happen very fast. And the way it will happen is if we elect people in every position who agree with our ideas.
Yeah. And I want to know who made it law that if you're teaching you have to be in a teachers union.
I can tell you.
It
was an executive order from Governor Gray Davis around 2000 to 2002. I remember when it happened in the 90s, they were asking me, what do you think about this opt-in, opt-out thing? They were planning for years to do that, and they just went ahead. They asked me what I thought, but that was it. They did what they wanted, and an executive order. So the governor could, by executive order, rescind that.
Well, you know darn well. The governor we have now will not.
He won't, and the last Republican wouldn't. I got him that information. Never considered
it. Well, you know, that's the problem. You know, California has a real problem with knowing who is conservative and who is not, and who's going to work with us and who is not. I mean, you know, we want there's so many of us that want to see California restored and rebuilt, but doggone it, we're not going to get that because, you know, every time we make a motion to put someone even remotely conservative in, it's, you know, it's voted out. So,
well,
I have found
to be the biggest problem for conservative candidates in California is the Rhino liberal and moderate Republicans who directly work against them to be elected.
Exactly.
I saw it personally firsthanded where 10 to 12 of elected Republicans did not endorse a Republican for state superintendent. And one of them was noticed today who voted for this SB 48 was Nathan Fletcher. I talked with his staff member personally, and they would not endorse me. They endorsed a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, and a Republican who I know, I've met, he knew I was running, did a robocall for Larry Aceves, the most left-wing extremist candidate of all 12 state superintendent candidates, in support of a left-wing candidate who supports La Raza, the Green Party. The Democrats supported him, and a Republican endorsed him. We have to hold our Republicans accountable. I'm sorry, folks, but that's our job right now. We've got to make them and insist them, and Nathan Fletcher needs some kind of consequence for this from somebody. People in San Diego need to let it be known that they won't vote for him for mayor because he did that. That's the only way they'll listen to us.
Well, you know, I tried really hard, you know, and I'm a staunch Republican. I've always been, well, I'm more conservative than Republican because as 2010 showed, you know, I mean, I could not and would not support Meg Whitman. And that was because of her left-leaning. And I would not do it. And so I did vote third party. And since then, I might be regretting that a little bit, but...
Yeah, I did vote for Meg, and I worked for her after the June election. I always have gone for whoever we select, but now everybody's beginning to wonder.
Well, exactly, and see, and that was a big problem for me in the 2010 elections is the fact that we had no clear conservative in the Republican Party. And, I mean, even Poizner was not as conservative as I would have liked to have seen. I mean, I'm a pro-life person, and these candidates were all, you know, pro-choice. And, I mean, that was not the only issue that directed me to vote the way I voted. There were many issues with both candidates that drove me away. And in the very beginning of the primaries last year, I was actually a city chairperson for Meg Whitman. And when I had found out, after I had done some research, I had found out a lot of things that I did not know. And I knew right then there was no way I could support her. And I was not going to go back and, you know, and be a hypocrite and say, well, I support her anyway, just because she's a Republican. I don't vote that way. I'm, you know, I always go for the conservative out of the bunch. And she wasn't it.
Well, I'd just like to say that this is probably the most important issue in America today is our education for our kids. And here's why. Because we have seen the culmination of many years' work of the liberals in which they have basically taught our kids their agenda in schools about socialism, about the social agenda items, and they have demonized those on the right and called them religious right-wing extremists when, in fact, they're left-wing extremists. And we need to call them labels gently and kindly what they are so people hear what they are, because when people hear what is identified for what they are, they begin to understand what's happening more often. Now these kids are voting socialist people because that's what they're hearing, that jives with what they were taught in school. So they're voting these people in the state legislature, and that's who we've got right now controlling the state of California, paid and selected by the CTA and other SEIU and other unions of the state of California, have used everybody's money who's a union member as their little budget. They have budgets every year that's really pretty big budgets to spend on politics and all the candidates from the top down to school board races. And they have their candidates in almost every section or division of political offices in the state of California and America, for that matter. So we have about 4 minutes here, Bev, so I'm going to let you talk about 3.5 minutes. In the last 30 seconds, I'll say goodbye. There you go. Well, thanks so much again.
My pleasure. That is the thing, you know. I mean, we're allowing the schools to indoctrinate our kids enough to where they're walking into the voting booths and they're voting for, you know, whoever they've been indoctrinated to respect. And it's not the American people that they respect. It's, you know, the ones that are working to take over America. And the other thing we have to realize is that the money is coming from the groups like the NEA, the other, you know, the California teachers unions and groups such as the GLSEN. I think that's Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network or something like that. But
yeah.
You know, they're coming. The money is coming in to support anything that goes against conservatism, anything that goes towards socialism, that goes towards Marxism, that goes towards communism is being supported by these groups, and people are unaware of that because they don't see it. And most of the people that have their children in public school don't see what's going on because they don't take the time to go and see what's going on. They don't take time to research and look up bills that have been passed and organizations that are in the schools. You know, we have to work harder at fighting this or we're just going to lose altogether. And frankly, I think the time has come for most people to start pulling their children out of the public schools. The schools are always complaining that they're overcrowded. Well, let's show them that they don't have to be overcrowded anymore. And pull our kids out, start homeschooling, start co-ops, like Diane said. I think that's an excellent idea. And, you know, just get them out of there because they're their prey. That's basically it. They're their prey. And that's about all I can think of to say at this point. But
well, Beverly, thank you so much for being with us here tonight. Another suggestion, last-minute suggestion for those who want to get involved in your local community. Seems the school boards are going to have their hands tied anyway. Is you can start classes in your neighborhood teaching about the Constitution. I have a friend who started Liberty House on Main Street in Garden Grove, Rosie Avila. And I went to a 4th of July celebration in the Mexican community Sunday. And we had many constitutional activists who were there with booths explaining about our Constitution and about our founding fathers and about the early history of America. And I just think that we need to find whatever way we can be involved and do whatever you can in your local neighborhoods, churches, schools, wherever you find yourself to inform people. We thank you so much for being with us tonight. We will see you again for next month's show on the first Wednesday of each month. Next month, it's August 3rd from 8 to 9 p.m. now. So we look forward to hearing from you next time, and God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you for being with us tonight. We love you all. I love the gay and lesbian community. I know many good gay and lesbians who are conservative in other items, but as far as politics, So thank you so much for being with us tonight, and we do want to help all of you be involved in working together and concluding and resolving these issues and problems in a way that will work for all of us. So good night to all. This is Diane Linning from Linning School Watch et al. Good night. Love you. God bless America.